So the reading is from Romans 5, verses 1 to 5, only a short bit of scripture. That's Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Just give you some time to get there. It says this, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Amen. Hello everyone again. Lovely to see you, and thank you so much for having me here today. It's a real privilege when I get offered to come and speak somewhere else and have fellowship with other believers, so thank you so much. It's a true blessing. For those who don't know me, my name is William Sambrook, or Will Sambrook, and I attend Glastonbury Gospel Hall with my wife and my daughter. And I spoke here roughly about a year ago, I believe, almost to the day. And when I was here last, I spoke about death. I recognised you for some of the faces, so I'm sure some of you were here. And although we don't fear death because of what the Lord has done for us, I think we can all agree it was a bit of a heavy topic for a Sunday afternoon. So you'll all be glad to hear that it's a different topic today, full of light, love and glory. So yeah, you won't remember me just as the deaf guy. So we just know. But my prayer today is that for the believers here, which I hope we all are, we can be encouraged and motivated to serve the Lord and grow in our faith. And if anyone here is not a believer, that the scriptures that will be read will stress the importance of needing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. So today's topic is faith, as I've said before. We're going to be looking at what faith is, who we should have faith in, and why we can have faith in that person. What faith looks like for the believer, and what do we gain from having faith in the Lord? And also what to do when maybe we have doubts in our faith, which can happen. So as I was beginning to study, I asked the Lord for help and guidance, and I decided to Google the definition of faith and what that was. And as I was Googling there, it said complete trust in confidence in someone or something. Pretty simple definition and easy to understand. So we know that having faith is having full trust and confidence. But as I was looking at the definition of faith on Google, I just scrolled down for maybe a bit more help and guidance and expecting to find a Bible verse or even the Lord's name mentioned. But as I was scrolling, there was nothing. After the definition of faith, the next result was George Michael's Faith, not quite what I was looking for. And then there was a video game called Faith, and I was scrolling through. I was like, how was the Lord not mentioned yet? It took till page 2 of the Google results to actually even mention the Bible or the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when you're Googling, you never really scroll past the first page. So it was quite strange for it to be in the second page there. And that just made it extremely clear to me how far the world has gone from God and how desperate many people are to find that true and certain faith. I want to start by looking at worldly faiths and what people who don't follow the Lord believe and just how fragile they are. Non-believers tend to put their faith in people or resources. That's what it tends to be. For example, they may put their full life dedication into a member of parliament because they have faith that it will improve or benefit their life. Some people will dedicate all of their time, resources, effort just to get that person elected or in a position of leadership. The problem with this, putting your full faith and trust in that person, is that they're still human. We read in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The problem that we have there is that that person has the potential, and to be honest, the certainty to let you down in some way. We can't put our full, undivided faith and trust in humans, simply because we're humans. We're not perfect, we're sinful. Just like me and just like you. How many times have you put your faith in someone only to be let down? It happens all the time. Perhaps you say, meet me here at this time, and somebody doesn't show up on time or doesn't show up at all. Or if you say to someone, I'll be there for you, when times get tough, but they end up not being there for you. Unfortunately, because of our sinful nature and the way that we are human, we cannot be faithful perfectly faithful. There is no worldly faith that is complete and true. Non-believers also put their faith in smaller things such as resources. They see their kitchen tap there and they have full faith that when they turn it on, water will come out. But one day that tap will seize or the pipe will burst. That tap has a faith that is conditional. They also have faith that Tesco down the road, local for us here, will be full of food for them to buy. But then suddenly a pandemic hits and there's no more loo roll. These things are not a guarantee, and again, a faith that we cannot fully rely on. Again, there is no worldly faith that is true and complete. So I've just told you that there's no faith in the world, so what's the point of having faith? But without faith, we have no point or purpose. Faith gives us guidance, a sense of meaning and understanding. If we were to live without faith, our lives would be completely futile. There'll be no point of living. So what can we have full faith and confidence in? Well, most slash all of you, I hope, know that that's the Godhead, which is our Father, His Son, the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. That's who we can have full, undivided, complete faith in. Why can we have full faith in the Godhead? Well, it's simple, because the books that you've got in your hand tell us so. We know that Scripture is true, accurate, and correct. And we can read throughout Scripture about the character of the Godhead. We can read about God. We can read about the Saviour. And we can read about the Spirit. We read that God is merciful. He's kind. He is love. He is light. He's patient. He's faithful. And he's everlasting. We can also read in the Gospel about the Lord's character when he was down here as a man. He was a healer, patient, loving, obedient, honest, and pure. He was the only one to be perfect. He was brave, incredibly brave, and again, faithful and everlasting. We read in 1 John 1 verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's talking about our God. That word there, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And in Hebrews 13, verse 8, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can all agree that through Scripture, the Godhead is faithful and everlasting. Never going to let us down. Never going to break a promise. Never going to lie or deceive or abandon. Never going to fade. Never going to die. Perfect for eternity. Who better to put our full faith and trust in? I think we can all agree. Now, when we put our full faith in the Godhead, there's a bit of gospel coming in here, which I pray we all have done. We gain the perfect gift of salvation. And what a blessing that is to read. And it's important to be reminded of. All God wants from us in order to be saved from our sin and hell is to put our full trust and faith in his Son. And to fully believe that he died on the cross for you and me, which he did. And he rose again for you and for me. What a blessing we have in Scripture. We read in Ephesians 2 verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. There's that word again, faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Now when we have all done that and we've all put our full faith in the Lord, we become a child of God. What a blessing that is to say. And not only that, but we've become brothers and sisters in Christ. Incredible promises that we have in Scripture. And like Jeff said in his prayer there, we're waiting for the return of the Lord so we can be united with him. Not only does faith in the Lord gain us salvation, which is the greatest gift of all, something we truly don't deserve, but we get so many more incredible blessings because of our faith. We read in Galatians 2 verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So our faith in Christ not only saves us, but it changes us in the way that we live. It completely does a U-turn on our life. Our old man, as we read in Romans 6, is crucified with Christ. The sin, the bad habits, the things that make us feel guilty or horrible or dirty or regrets, gone and buried, crucified with Christ. And now we live in newness in him. That new life, by the way, is fresh, it's light, it's clean, it's hopeful, it's everlasting. such blessings again, all because of our faith in the Lord. In Romans 5, verse 1, we read this. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, there's that word, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, peace is something the whole world is striving towards. We can all agree that with that, we see such violence in wars, in the news, crimes where humans are hurting each other and killing each other. Especially in the Ukraine, you see such horrible things. And when those kind of terrible things happen, everybody just urges and begs for peace. Why can't we have peace? Little do they know that they can have a heavenly peace. A peace that swallows up the worries of this world. A peace which puts eternity into perspective. By faith, we gain peace. Another blessing. Ephesians 3, verse 17 says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I absolutely love this scripture and this truth. Having faith in the Lord means he is with you. He is with me. He dwells with us, brothers and sisters. What a blessing to say. Now, when the Lord is dwelling with us, which I hope that he is for all of us, we gain the fruits of the Spirit, which we read about in Galatians 5, verse 16 to 26. It talks about how when we are walking with Christ, all the things like adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, idolatry, wrath, self-ambition, drunkenness, envy, are all crucified with Christ and put away. And then we put on love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That transaction of bad to good happens all because of our faith in the Lord. Not only do we have scriptures that tells us what we gain from having faith, we also have examples, which is a real blessing. I couldn't talk today about faith without mentioning the faith chapter in Hebrews. Hebrews 11, it says, there's so many perfect examples of Old Testament believers who gained incredible blessings because of their faith in the Lord. For example, we read that Abel had more faith than Cain, so his sacrifice was worthy to God. We read that Enoch was spared from death because of his faith. By faith, Noah was pre-warned about the flood. Abraham showed faith by offering his son as a sacrifice and was blessed by the promises of God because of his faithfulness. By faith, Moses left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Through faith, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of a sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. We have all of these examples in that chapter, Hebrews 11, of what faith can achieve. It's such incredible and inspiring scripture. So we've discovered not only do we gain salvation from our faith in God, which is, again, perfect, we gain purpose, guidance, understanding, peace, love, joy, kindness, goodness, self-control. The list goes on and on, all because of our faith in the Lord. Now, what do we do as believers when our faith wavers and when we have doubts? It happens. It happens to me. I'd be a hypocrite if I said it doesn't. Perhaps our faith has doubts when we sin against God and we feel ashamed, embarrassed, and we've let God down. Or when we're mocked or laughed because of our faith. Or perhaps when we have unsaved family members who disagree with the way that we're living and trying to follow Christ. Well, thankfully, we have a piece of scripture which deals with that when we have doubts. In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 24 to 29, we read the account of Thomas. I'll just read it to you now. It says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Such encouraging scriptures to read there, and extremely powerful as well. Just a few points I would like to make about this short bit of scripture so we can deal with those doubts we've been talking about in our faith. We know that Thomas was one of the 12, one of the Lord's closest companions whilst he was on this earth. Thomas would have seen the Lord performing miracles. He would have heard him foreshadowing his betrayal and his death. He would have even known that the Lord was going to conquer death and return. Someone that close to the Lord had doubts, brothers and sisters. I believe this is included in scripture to comfort and reassure us. Doubts are normal. We don't want them, but they're normal. But through this passage of scripture, we're encouraged and guided on how to deal with it. Notice Thomas' response as well when the disciples came and they came to him and said, we've seen the risen Lord. We've seen the Saviour. He was so stubborn, wasn't he? I will not believe. And his flesh took over his faith. This is what happens to us, and this is why we doubt. We let the things of the world take over. We worry about material things and completely neglect our faith. It's easy to do. But again, we're guided on how to deal with that. To deal with wavering faith, we are told to draw close to God. What did Thomas do? Did he try and apologize or anything like that, or try and justify his actions? No. I don't know if he fell on the floor, but I imagine he might have done. He said, my Lord and my God. Straight away, he acknowledged the Saviour. He drew close to God when he was once doubting. We need to do the same by praying, reading, and serving him faithfully. The closer we are to God, the less our faith wavers. The Lord makes it clear that we are blessed for having faith in him, although we haven't seen him. So brothers and sisters, when we have those doubts, just remember that it's normal, and we are blessed for having faith in the Lord, as we have discussed earlier. To start to slowly finish up, I just want to mention another blessing faith gives us. We read in Ephesians 6 about the armour of God. I'm sure we're all very familiar with that. But in that set of armour, we have the shield of faith. Now, what does the shield represent? It's a form of protection, isn't it? If we were all on a battlefield right now and there was arrows and bullets whizzing past us, what would we want in front of us? We would want that shield, wouldn't we? We need that shield of faith in front of us whilst we're hit down here on this earth to protect us from all the horrible things that are going on. We know as believers that we will be persecuted and there will be tribulations for our lives here. It's not easy being a believer. But when we have that shield of faith in front of us, those tough times become futile. That shield of faith puts eternity into perspective. I just want to leave you with some key points. Worldly faith is completely futile. There's nothing here that we can get true faith from. We need faith for a purpose. The only true faith is in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By putting our faith and trust in the Lord, we gain salvation because of our faith. So simple. Not only that, but we gain new blessings because of that faith. When our faith has doubts, and when we start to doubt the things of God, we must pray, we must read, we must study, we must serve the Lord to defeat those doubts. The closer we are to God, the less doubts we have. I think we can all agree with that. When we're on a high and on a good place, no doubts will creep in. And finally, as we eventually leave these doors here, I want you to constantly have that shield of faith equipped for whatever's out there. Keep that shield of faith strong and in front of you at all times. I just pray that we've been encouraged by the reading of God's word, and I pray that God has used me to preach his word clearly, and anything from man, from me, will be forgotten. And the Lord's word will continue to work in your hearts and be an encouragement. And if anyone would like the scriptures quoted, I'd be more than happy to give them to you. Thank you.